Good evening and a very warm welcome to you, folks, wherever you may be tuning into this monumental episode of the Football Out West Show, episode 95. My name is Tonchi Prusak. Absolute pleasure to have you all on board tonight. And a very, very big welcome to Craig Filer. Craig, we are so knackered and there's a very good reason for it. This is potentially the biggest show we've ever put together. The biggest show. How are you?
As you said, knackered. Absolutely, absolutely shattered, mate. It's been a long day. Actually started last night. I got in from football last night, about 10 o'clock, I think it was, by the time I got in, and then started uploading some videos, and it was 20 past 12 before I turned the lights off and was messaging people about the show today, and then got up at stupid o'clock this morning and started it all over again, and literally... in an hour and a half time will be the end of a day that, I'll sleep well tonight, especially if I had three beers as well. So I'll definitely sleep well tonight.
Well, folks, no less than 8 guests. You heard that right. 8 guests on tonight's show. It is going to be a massive show. It is our, let's call it the run home roundup. As we start to approach that final turn, as we start to approach that straight with the finish line in clear sight. We're going to now analyse all of those divisions. There's about 8 divisions. We're not going to get through all of them, not all the divisions that are, but we'll be going through NPL, NPL2, NPL3, State League 1, State League 2, State League 3, State League 4, State League 5, BPLW, and hopefully the State League Women's 1 as well. Did you get that? You probably didn't. But Craig, who are all of our guests on tonight's massive show?
All right. So coming up, first off, we've got hopefully he's home and sorted himself out. We've got George Katsakis, the head coach of Heidelberg United. They finished a game this afternoon at St. Albans, so we'll be speaking to him about a good week for the club with Australia Cup, Doherty Cup news coming out. We've got head coach of NPL topside Stuart Begg. He's going to come on.
NPL 2.
NPL 2, Stuart Begg, he's going to come on and talk to us about the club's fantastic season so far, talk about their new signing and, you know, what's in store over the next couple of weeks. We then cross over to, if that's not enough, we cross over to Lou Osefsky from Preston Lions, who had a great win on Friday night against Nunna Wadding and have got some huge games coming up in that big race for NPL 3 promotion. We then cross over to Melbourne Knights VPL player Katie Spiteri. I think she's the niece of the legendary Joseph Spiteri.
Oh, that would be interesting.
It would be good to chat to Kate. They played this afternoon against Burundara Eagles, so we'll have
that's the VPLW. Yep, VPLW.
Yep, the VPLW.
And then back to the men's State 1. We've got
Men's State 1. Lockie Roos. Lockie Roos is the one of the senior players for Caroline Springs, George Cross. He's going to join us. Then into State League 2, we've got Kev Thurmer from the head coach at Mill Park. Bill Georgopoulos, the coach of Westvale, we're riding high there in State League Men's 3 Northwest. Then we'll be speaking to the president of Melton Phoenix and friend of the show, Michelle Williams. She's going to join us around about 8:20, hopefully, if everything, fingers crossed, goes well. But we know on this show, Tonch, nothing ever goes well. So we're in the lap of the gods.
Well, we've got a huge show, a massive, massive shout out to our major sponsors for 2022, Caroline Springs George Cross, home of the award-winning Georgies on Vista Bistro. We'll take a few messages from our sponsors and also our business advertiser for today, Guzman Finance. When we return, it's our very, very first guest tonight. We'll be talking NPL Victoria football with George Katsakis, the coach of Heidelberg United, and therein we'll start our massive, massive roundup. Folks, don't go away. It's episode 95 of the Football Out West show.
You find authentic Maltese cuisine? At Georgie's on Vista, in the heart of Fraser Rise. We have a menu to suit everyone, which includes kids and seniors meals, and a cocktail list that will need you to come back several times to get through. Our specialty nights are a big hit. Tuesday is $20 Palmer night with a selection of Palmers to choose from. Kids eat free Wednesday night. With every paid adult meal, you get one free kids meal. Thursday is Maltese night. Check out the Maltese specials on our specials board. And Friday night, we have happy hour between 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Be sure to book your table to avoid disappointment. Bookings can be made via our website, georgesonvista.com.au. See you at Georgies on Vista. You'll find us at Caroline Springs George Cross. Guzman Finance, Point Cook's professional and trusted mortgage broker. Using the latest technology powered by Australian Finance Group, their lender panel has over 30 institutions, including the major banks. Whether you're in the market for your first home, refinancing, renovating, or buying an investment property, contact Andreas on 0425 826 055 or visit their website at guzmanfinance.smartonline.com.au.
Welcome back to the Football Out West show. Now, we do start our roundup tonight on a somewhat of a somber note with the sad news of the sudden passing of one of Hoppers Crossing's dearest sons, Julian Zach. Hoppers Crossing, they've just announced you're passing one of their former captains, best and fairest winner, and the three-time championship winner. But not only that, he also made his mark at Melton Phoenix, and we'll have Michelle Williamson, the president of Melton Phoenix, a little later on in the show to chat about her club, but also Julian Zach as well and his contribution to the club. But it wasn't just there that the late Julian made a real impact on a local club. He did that with Laverton FC as well. He captained the team and got them promoted in 2017. So very sudden. He was sick not that long, but gone way too young. And that's just really sad news. So to his family, his friends, to the Hoppers Crossing Soccer Club, to Laverton FC and Melton Phoenix, to everyone involved, we pass on our deepest condolences on the tragic news. So that really, really is sad to hear. Craig, time to get talking about the NPL, and let's go very firstly through the NPL results of the weekend. There's a heap of games to get through. We're going to quickly have a look at the ladder, and then we've got a lot of footage to get through. But let's start with the results, mate.
Yeah, big game. Some big results this weekend, starting off on Friday night with Green Gully. Would be a disappointing loss at home to Bentley Greens, 4-0. Jack Painter Andrew scoring two, an own goal by Kai Godoy, and a goal for Ajak Riak, getting the four goals for Bentley and the precious 3 points. Oakley Cannons had a fantastic 5-0 win at home to Dandenong South. Joe Knowles getting three, Joe Guest getting the other one, and Chris Lucas getting one as well. And we'll see some of these goals as I'm talking through this. And a red card for Delano Furrow from Dandenong City gave Oakley a convincing 5-0 win there at home. another shock, I suppose, in Avondale, losing at home again. This time to Dandenong Thunder, who have made some big signings in the transfer window. Josh Mika scoring their only goal up there at Avenger Park. Eastern Lions continue their sorry form in NPL. They haven't won a game or picked up a point in NPL at home this season, Tonch. And they had a bit of a lambasting against South Melbourne, the league leaders, 4-0. Harrison Sawyer netting all four for South Melbourne with a convincing display.
And apparently it's the only time in history that a South Melbourne player has got four goals twice. That is amazing. Well done
there. And you'll see the coverage in this, Tonch. Some of the goals were fantastic from him. He's a big lad. He's a big target man. But by God, he can play. Altona Magic had a disappointing loss at home against Port Melbourne. New signing Lars Anton Kaninda scored the only goal for Altona, whilst Alex Castillo scored an own goal. Chris Duggan, Ville Sesnich, and Luca Tavia got the goals for Port Melbourne as they continue their impressive season. And finally, on the games on Saturday night, Hume had a huge win at home to Melbourne Knights, defeating the Knights 3-1. Josh,
it is a massive result
down the bottom of the league. They're still in that dogfight, but it's a huge result. Josh Bingham getting two, Mitch Cooper getting the other, while George Ott got his continue his good scoring role for Melbourne Knights. So yeah, that was a huge result for Hume City there at that. At the bottom, drags Melbourne Knights into it slightly. Altona Magic not quite out of it, so it's going to be a very interesting few weeks in NPL, Tonch.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it is going to be, you know, a lot of interest both at the ladder and just to the last game of the round, which is played earlier today at Churchill Reserve. Now, apparently, no goals, but lots of drama. Both teams had a player sent off. We'll be talking a lot with about that game with George Katsakis, who's in the green room ready to join us. But before we get him on board, Craig, you wanted to just give us a little a rundown of what happened at Churchill Reserve earlier today.
Yeah, look, it was, I suppose, a typical game at Fox Street. You know, the pitch is very small. It was a fiery affair from the start. Not many chances, if I'm honest. A lot of guts and lots of tackles flying in, as you said, Tonch. A couple of sendings off. We'll speak to George about that. But look, George will be very disappointed. They dropped 2 points there today, and St Albans the other way will be thinking it's a point gain. But from a Heidelberg perspective, it'll be a disappointing 2 points loss. But they do climb the ladder, so even though they lost 2 points, they do climb two places. And as you can see there from the board, they do go up to fifth. But a win would have put them into fourth. So I'm sure George has got his thoughts on that.
Yeah, with that in mind, let's bring the man onto our show. It's an absolute warm welcome. Warm welcome to George Katsakis. And looks like his camera's a little bit distorted there. Good evening, George. How are you,
James? How are we once again?
Looks like he's in one of those fairgrounds, doesn't he? With the mirrors.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but
what's going on there?
I'm not too sure what's going on there. That's for sure, George. Okay. We'll push on with it. Was it 2 points lost or a point gained? We've lost him, unfortunately. That's our first guest, and we knew it was going
there
to happen.
There we go. It was
going to
happen. It was always going to happen. So.
Guys, is that better?
That's better, mate. That's better. George, we've got George Katsakis back on. George, so first question, was it 2 points lost or 1 point gained? How did you see today's game?
Oh, look, I think going out to St Albans is always a difficult venture, you know. A tight ground, a team that's pushing for a result to get away from that, you know, possible relegation zone. was always going to be difficult. I don't want to say it's 2 points lost. I think it's a point game that, you know, we've gone undefeated for 12 games and in all competitions. You know, for every win you get, you're expected to lose one at some point, but, you know, not to be. And with a bit of luck, had things gone our way, possibly without the sending off, we could have got a result in the same token. Then in the last few minutes, it was quite a dubious decision there for a penalty that could have gone against us and seen us lose the game. So, look, I think it's a point gain. We've come a very, 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 very long way since 10, 12 weeks ago. And I'm overwhelmed, to be quite honest.
Yeah, look, thanks, George. Thanks for coming on, mate. I know it's been a bit of a rush home for you, but thanks for coming on. Yeah, look, I saw the first half of the game and then came home because my feet couldn't take any more. But I think you were right. You know, at before the sending off, I think there was opportunities, and I wanted to touch on the two sendings off for you, the Nicolaides and the one for or two yellow cards for St. Albans. How did you see the Nicolaides one? Because I know, obviously, there was a lot of debate around that with the referees walking. How did you see that? Was it a sending off?
Look, I've had a good look at it a couple of times, and he's a young kid who's coming through the levels, and, you know, definitely no intention in doing what he did. He did challenge, he did get up quite high, and on landing, unfortunately, if he lands on solid ground, there's no issue. But he's landed on the back of the opposition player, possibly deemed as standing on him, or I don't like to use the word stomping. I think there's a bit of a difference. It was all in his action and on landing. But, you know, the rule says you stand on somebody on coming down. It's a sending off. So
sending off, yeah.
You know, I'm not sure who saw it clearer. I know that the fourth official and the AR1 on our side closest to the incident didn't see anything, and I was quite amazed to think that AR2 from quite a distance saw the landing. You know, look, could have been controversial. It is the way that they interpreted it. And on the interpretation, I'd say it's a red card. In terms of the Hakim's second yellow, was definitely a second yellow. You know, a second yellow warrants, be it right or be it wrong, it warrants a red card. And unfortunately for Hakim, you know, I took that precaution with Dom Fella, and I substituted him at half time for that reason, or just after half time for that reason, knowing that he's on a yellow card and we're already down to 10 men. I didn't want to lose another one, so I made that decision. So, you know, you become vulnerable when you've got a booking against you, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, and you were, as you said there, there was a dubious decision for the penalty, which could have been a penalty for a foul on Joey Monich in the last minute, I think, or extra time, actually. Again, got away with it there, I think. You know,
could have been a penalty for us.
But having said that, George, the referee was right there. I have to give him credit for he was there. So
look, in a chat we had after the game with him, he said, "Cats, I was right next to the incident. I was very close. Yeah. I thought that Mullan Roberts actually dragged Joe Frenich's feet, you know, more so. Look, he was close enough. I think there was a couple of half yells in the first half. Could have gone either way. I think at the end of the day, I think a fair result was the draw.
Yeah, agreed. Touch on midweek for you. Fantastic result in the Doherty Cup against Green Gully, which was a tough game. I don't think any team wanted extra time and penalties in that game. So it really was a thunderous game. I was lucky enough to commentate the game. Obviously, you're over the moon that you've got through that. I could see your actions on the side of the pitch at the end of the game of, you know, how much you wanted to get through that. And obviously, you get to play Bentley Greens now next week. And then, of course, you've got the Australia Cup to look forward to and a great draw against Brisbane Roar at home at Olympic Village. That's must be very pleasing.
I think it's been an interesting week in football for us. You know, and I keep dwelling about where we were, you know, a couple of months ago or 10 weeks ago. It's all quite relevant because, you know, we got off to a very, very slow start, 0 points after four rounds, and then find ourselves, you know, 12, 13 weeks later amongst the top five teams in the league and still alive in all competitions. I think it's a great effort by the boys. I think, you know, my coaching staff and everyone involved have managed it really, really well. You know, we played Bay Green Gully, a very, very great opponent in my belief anyway. I think they're one of the better teams in the league this year in quite a unique game. I thought it was a great spectacle for most. And we got Maximal. We got the win to allow us to play in the semi-final. And then we get drawn against a Brisbane Roar team that I believe, you know, if you ever want to play an A-League team in the FFA Cup or the Australia Cup, it's probably the time to get them, you know. They're just going through their pre-season, probably not well-prepared or prepared enough. We're on the back end of our season, coming into a finals series, so definitely the momentum's with us. And as I said before every game a few years ago, you know, everything's possible at that time of the year. And if only we can pull off another magical moment like we did against Perth when we play Brisbane Roar, then I think it'll be, you know, great for the Heidelberg fan base, for the club itself and for the players involved.
Well, hopefully there could be another 7,000 fans there as there was for
plus,
that Perth game.
Fantastic. Great. George, a big game coming up.
It gives the club an opportunity to showcase their new venue and our new light towers and new look, Olympic Village. And I think it's quite important that with all the conversation taking place in the B League that most Victorians get behind this fixture and we show that we are a force in Australian football. We continue to be a force and, you know, let it all stack up for a couple of teams or, if not more, to be part of a new B-League.
Yeah, it's exciting times ahead indeed, George. We're going to have to leave it there. We've got eight more guests to get through tonight. Big game coming up against Port Melbourne on Saturday, against the third-place Port Melbourne there. Wishing you all the best for that and indeed the rest of the season. And thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Football Out West show.
Thanks, Jens. Thanks very much for your time.
Good on you, George. George Katsakis there from the Heidelberg United Football Club. Mate, we're going to rifle through these divisions. We've got NPL 2 right up next and he's going to join us straight away. He's at the moment the coach of the table toppers. They've got a 5-point gap at the top of the competition standings. He's the North Geelong Warriors coach, Stuart Begg. Stuart, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a big weekend and a little bit of a tense weekend. Yesterday's game kind of came down to, I think it was the 86th minute when a Ryan Opperman penalty saved the day for the Warriors. A 2-1 win over a very, very difficult Brunswick City. How did you see that game, first of all?
Thanks for having me, guys. It was a interesting game, to be honest. And those who were there would have noticed that the ground wasn't in really great condition. It's this time of the year where Elko Park becomes a tough place to play for everyone. From our point of view, I think, yes, the game could have probably gone either way in the end, but I'm a little disappointed in chances that we missed early in the second half. But, you know, I think Brunswick is a side they're a good quality side and they've got quality players and, you know, it's still a shock to me to see them where they are on the ladder. End of the day is we got the win with the penalty at the end and I don't really care how we get the win as long as we get it.
Yes, Stu, well done on the win. Yes, I actually thought I'd see you on the settee with your slippers and a pipe in your hand, but obviously not. It's too early to be doing that yet. But just want to touch on, you obviously bought in a new signing earlier in the week. It was the transfer window that that opened up and you bought another youngster, Geelong-based youngster, to back to the club. Anthony Laban joined you from Melbourne Victory. Obviously, how did that come about and was he involved in the game yesterday?
Yeah, so that came about, look, to be honest, obviously we knew that Noah was going to be leaving at some stage during the year, and we still felt that we were in an okay position not to really look to recruit anyone in the window. And it sort of just came up in discussion between us and the coaching staff, and we thought, you know what, why not ask him? You know what, it might be a good move for him. So, you know, the contacts that we've got at the club, he had a quick chat with him, and then we sort of lined up a meeting, and that sort of just... it sort of fell into place. Like, it was just, it was a good fit. It was a good fit for him, as in leaving Victory. He's been there for a number of years, and we feel he could probably, you know, establish himself in our side at the tail end, and, you know, whatever he looks to do next year, this will be a good setup to him. So that's how that sort of happened. And yeah, so he got off on the field. We started him in the bench. He got on the field earlier than expected. We had an injury to Nick Kozdra at the end of the first half, and he went on, I think, with 5 minutes to go in the first half. And to be honest, it probably took him a while to get a couple of touches. But once he did, he looked very comfortable.
Yeah, he must be loving the pitch down at Elko Park. It'll be exactly the same as he's used to training on and playing on at Victory, I would imagine,
Stu. Sure it is. It's, definitely up there with with the pitches he's playing on there. Yeah.
Well, of course, we're just talking about, I don't think we mentioned the young lad's name. We're talking about him, Anthony Lebar, 19-year-old from Melbourne Victory. Yes. And he's most renowned for scoring the goals against, I think it was Adelaide City and Adelaide United, if I'm not mistaken, in the FFA Cup. But sorry, Craig, before we go any further, I just want to go very quickly through the scores of the games. Pasco Vale, now this is a big surprise, lost to Manningham United Blues 1-0. Now this is very significant because, Stuart, you guys play Manningham United next week. A really tough game because anyone can beat anyone in this league. Manningham United, what do you know much about them?
Well, I know how they played against us at our ground, and I know they've had some really interesting results. I mean, they nearly beat or drew against Zebras away. And you're right, anyone can beat anyone, but I sort of feel at this stage, it's the lower teams that seem to fight a lot harder than the teams that are at the top. And because it's survival versus, you know, trying to get success. And I think that they just fight a little bit harder. They've got more in the line. And that showed it, obviously, in the game that we played on the weekend. And Manningham, again, you know, very capable side. So I think if you look at their stats, I think they've not conceded very many goals, but not scored much at all. So they're a tough team to break down and score against.
Yeah, and they play, obviously, they got their new facilities as well. I think they're unbeaten on their new facilities, which is a synthetic. I know that won't bother you guys too much because you train on a synthetic once a week down there, so hopefully that'll put you in good stead. But just going through the other results there, Tonch, of the league, Pasco Vale, obviously, as you said, Manningham. Brunswick Juventus have gone on a bit of a run over the last couple of weeks, Stu, and they've been there or thereabouts without really showing anything significant. But the last couple of weeks, they've gone to Bulleen and beaten Bulleen, and obviously beaten Northcote 2-0 yesterday, which resulted in Peter Zalakis being moved on from his position at Northcote. His contract got terminated today with immediate effect. So Juventus are putting some wins together now and looking a bit formidable at the top.
Yeah, Brunswick say they're a good side. And like I said, they're also a team that's got a lot of quality on paper on the field. And it's, you know, to be honest, it's what Brunswick side's going to turn up on the day. And right now, they're turning up every week. So, and this is the tail end of the year where they need points. So they're doing it at the right time for their point of view.
The big surprise came in the Bulleen Lions versus Goulburn Valley game. 1-1 draw. Goulburn Valley have not won all season and they kept Bulleen Lions to a draw. Moreland City, another significant result, recorded a 3-0 win over Lang Warren, and they keep biting there at your heels. And then we've got Kingston City taking on Werribee City as well. But Stu, a real danger period, as you mentioned, next week it's Manningham United, then I think it's Werribee thereafter, if I'm not mistaken, then comes, if I'm not mistaken, Kingston City. So you've got a couple of these so-called lowly teams, and as you said, that's where the danger is because they're really desperate at the moment,
look,
aren't they?
The next six fixtures, you know, it's a tough old running. Regardless of where they are on the table, you've got Manningham, then you've got Werribee, Pasco Vale away, Kingston at home, Baleen Lions at home, and then Moreland City to finish off away. There's no easy games in there, Stu. It's, yes, you've got that buffer and you've got that five-point lead at the top, but, you know, there's teams in there who are vying for promotion, and there's teams in there that are trying to stay off relegation. So it's not going to be easy, is it? How do you keep the players? How do you keep the players in check? And I know you're going to say the players do it themselves. I know that's what you're going to say. So I pre.
Look, it's to be honest, it's look, we're at the point of the year where, you know, you've done all the hard work, you've done, you know, your pre-season, your structures, you've done all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to last this game is being mentally capable to play each game, because we've already proved that we can play and we can win games, but making sure that we don't lose focus, and we've seen that against Lang Warren at home, and we kept focus this week against against Brunswick, and that's the motivation for me, is to make sure that all I've got to do is make sure they're actually engaged and they're focused on game day, and if we can do that, we're in a chance of winning any game.
So is your role now really for the next 6 weeks really about that man management side of things rather than anything else, Stu?
Look, we'll still do the same process as what we do for every single game. We do a game prep and we look into potential weaknesses in other sides and how they may exploit our weaknesses as well and how to defend against that. That will never change. But you're right, it is basically trying to make sure that we're there in the right headspace leading to the game and we don't lose focus in critical moments. And it comes down to a critical moment like the weekend where we missed some chances and I felt that maybe it wasn't going to go our way and we got a penalty at the end. So, again, it's just about making sure they're focused on what's at hand.
Well, it's going to be a pulsating run home in the NPL 2 competition. Mate, we wish you all the very, very best. It'll be great to have a regional team in the in the NPL Victoria competition. Six games to go. I'm sure you're not going to rest until that very, very last game of the season. All the very best, Stewie. And, wishing you and the Warriors all the very best.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Yeah, all the best, Stu. Thanks, pal.
See ya.
Good on you. Two down and six to go. Our next guest is on in the green room, and we talk about a really, really exciting, pulsating run to the finals in the NPL 2 competition. Mate, the NPL 3 is just as exciting, and to tell us all about it and how his team is placed, it's a big, big welcome to the Preston Lions coach, Lou Achevsky. Lou, welcome to the Football Out West show. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on board.
Gents, Tonge, Craig, thank you for having me on board.
No problem. No problem at all, mate. We'll touch on, because we'll obviously have to fly through this. Friday night, fantastic 2-0 win at home to Nunawad, and we've got some highlights of the game here. I listened to the commentary from a very esteemed Josh Parrish, who does a great job. He said Nunawading came to play. How did the game go for you? Obviously a 2-0 win and 3 points, but how did you see the game?
Yeah, it looked pretty much spot on. I believe Nunawading is probably the first team outside of the A-League teams that come to BT Connor wanted to play football, and they did a really good job at that, especially in that first half. They put us on their back foot a couple of times, and they controlled possession for numerous passages throughout that first half. But what we did well was really hit him on these transition moments and, you know, the counter-attack. And we did hit the crossbar, Connor hit the crossbar, then he missed another opportunity a couple of minutes later for shot cross goal. And then we pretty much had a set piece. The goalkeeper fumbled it, and I think we're just showing it now. And our own boys cleared it off the line somehow. So don't ask how that happened, but that's probably the miss of the century there. But and then I think Stambo, again, I hear the highlights again. Stambo's missed a chance of all come across from Chrissy Davis and just misdirected, unfortunately. So we had four really good chances in the first half, but they had the majority of the play and the possession. And second half, the game, you know, we had a good chat in the rooms, and we came out and, again, we scored a goal, and it looked a little bit controversial when the ball went in, because Perry consulted his linesman, etc. The keeper's dropped the ball, took two bites of the cherry, so to speak. He dropped it. Moore put the ball in, but Connor Bell was on the ground, who didn't interrupt in any play. But, and we were calling for an offside, but which wasn't. And then, obviously, a few minutes later, another break from one of their corners. Ned's hit a great diving ball to Connor Bell, and he's going directly towards goal. He's cut it back, and young Joshua Bean has just finished the game off for us. So, really important win. One of the form teams, another one he's been the last 3 weeks prior to us. They won everything. So, it was a very, very important game, not just for the 3 points, but what it's done. It's given us a 10-point buffer to them, who are sitting fifth on the ladder at the moment.
Yeah, and I was going to touch. Sorry, Tons. I was going to touch. Obviously, four new signings that came during the transfer window. Talk us through the one of them. Now, has he come in as a player, or is he still going to be part of your coach, or both? In Sasha Ozgonovsky.
Yeah, look. About 2 months ago, we had a few injuries in defence and the rest of it, and you know, I said, Sash. I know you're 43, buddy, but if anybody can do this, it's...
he's got a body of a 22-year-old, mate.
He can do this, mate. How about you just put the boots on, come and train every session? And if it comes to the stage where, you know, where we've still got these injuries and when we need someone to come in and do a job for us, well, you know, I can obviously trust you and you can control the terms and all that. So, you know, Sasha's obviously, you know, he loves the club and, you know, he'll only come on and do something or play if we really need him. We don't want to put Sash in that predicament where, you know, he hasn't played for 5-6 years and to come out of retirement just for the club and put him in certain situations. We don't want to do that. But if need be, I'm 200% comfortable in Sash coming, controlling things like he usually did when he played.
Absolutely.
What an interesting side story to that is. We'll talk about some of the other recruits as well. Craig, did you want to mention some of them?
Yeah, Matthew Symes, Jack Bozanowski and Jonathan Germano have joined. And just to bolster up, because looking at the fixtures that you guys got over the next couple of weeks, I think the next probably 4 weeks are going to be defining as to whether you get promoted or you stay in MPL3 next year. Lou, I think you've got Melbourne Victory away at Epping on Saturday, which is never an easy place to go. You've got Whittlesea Rangers at home. Then you've got Western United at home and Melbourne City away. Doesn't come any tougher than that, does it?
No, look, it's going back to part A of that question. Look, Matty Symes, obviously, you know, we've got Chris Deuteritis at our club and he's done a great job. Matty Symes moved back from Sydney, so he loves the club and, you know, there's a no-brainer bringing him in and obviously challenging for that first team spot. And then Jack Boz from, you know, he's coming from wherever, he's played, you know, every game there, I think, a bit apart from one. 21-year-old, he came in, he's done a great job at training this week. You know, we're a bit short in the middle of the ground in positional wise in that number 8, number 10 role. We still haven't found that right combination throughout the whole year. We've been, you know, putting a few players here and there. So, and he fits the mold well, young Jack. Great attitude, great kid. So, really happy to bring him on board. And then obviously Jonathan Germano came up on, I think it was Tuesday morning after I spoke to Zocchi at Avondale, and Zocchi said, look, they've parted ways with Jono, and you know, Jono's record for the quality of footballer he is speaks for itself. So, you know, I had a chat to him, and pretty much that happened last, you know, Thursday was a transfer window deadline day. That happened by lunchtime. So, I believe they're four really good pickups for the club. And that's, as you said, Craig, before the next month, you know, even though I'm going to be the usual, we'll take it 1 week at a time situation where, you know, we'll worry about victory this week more so than the next 4 weeks. But yeah, look, six games to go, a lot of football to be played. Everybody's going to play everybody. You're still going to go to difficult grounds and play football and try and win games and the rest of it. But, you know, Melbourne Victory this Saturday, we know what to expect from A-League teams. They're going to come out and play their brand of football, make it very, very difficult. They're obviously 2 points behind us now in third spot. We know they want to get promoted. They want to push high, you know, and get go into the NPL too. But, you know, so do we. So, you know, it doesn't matter who we play and which ground we're going to play. I know we're going to give 100% and definitely push for that 3 points come Saturday.
just quickly looking at some of the results in the weekend just gone by, or the games just gone by, some big, big, big shocks. As we've already mentioned, Preston, you've defeated North Nunawading City 2-0. Western United lost to Springvale White Eagles 2-0. Geelong was held to a 1-1 draw by bottom side Whittlesea Rangers. And Melbourne Victory was held to a 2-2 draw by Doveton. Box Hill United destroyed Ballarat City 5-0. We don't have a result for the Melbourne City North Sunshine Eagles game.
Melbourne City won 2. Melbourne City won that one 2-1, Tonch.
Won that one. There you go. So then that ladder means that they're on 38 points, 4 points clear of Preston, who are 2 points clear of Melbourne Victory, and then Western United a further 3 points behind that. And Nunawading City, yeah, they missed a gilt-edged opportunity to move even closer, but it wasn't the case to be. So that looks like that top four could be well settled, but never say never. Lots of intrigue in NPL 3. Lou, it's going to be a huge month coming up for you. Wish you all the very best. Thank you for joining us on this bumper edition of the Football Out West show. You're guest number 3, and we've got 5 more guests to get through, so we're going to have to leave it there, but wish you all the very best for the rest of the season.
No, thanks for having me on, guys. Much appreciated.
Good on you.
Thanks, Lou. All the best for the next couple of weeks, mate.
Chevsky, the Preston Lions coach. Wow, that's fantastic. How good are all these competitions that come? Have one more guest, and then we're going to have a quick break. And now it's time for the fairer sex, as they say, the ladies. We're got attention now to VPLW. But before we do turn to VPLW, we'll just have a quick look at the NPLW. We weren't able to get anyone from called the United on tonight. It's difficult, Craig, isn't it? All the ladies' leagues are played on a Sunday, so sometimes we don't even get the results of the games played by the time we get to our show. But Call the United doing really, really well at the top of the standings there. They had a little bit of a slowish start, but they're definitely dominating proceedings in NPLW. And Western United Women in Drag, as you could call them, they are going to be playing in the A-League Women's next year, or the majority of those players. Good news for the West. Call the United continue their dominance in NPLW. Oh, we've lost Craig.
I'm sorry, I switched my mic off. Very sorry. Calder United going from strength to strength there, closely followed by Heidelberg, and then it's a big gap between Heidelberg and Berlin Lions, isn't it? But look, fantastic that Western United are going to get have got an A-League license, and that's going to only benefit Calder, of course, and football in general in Victoria. We did try and get somebody from Western United to come on and have a chat with us about that, but unfortunately we didn't hear back.
Yep.
Which is disappointing. That's but disappointing. Look, it's great. We've said it a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, it's a massive year for football in Australia with the World Women's World Cup, and we have to jump on board and get behind the ladies.
Yeah. Now, we must be saying it is a bit disappointing in this day and age when we are trying to promote women's football at every opportunity. We did try and reach out to Western United on the week when the A-League Women's has been expanded to include Western United next year and Central Coast the following year, when the number of games have expanded, i.e. the rounds, and also when Western United this week announced their coach and their team manager, basically their football department. We tried to contact their media department, but they must be on holidays or still celebrating their A-League triumph. I'm not too sure, but it is a bit disappointing that we didn't even get a reply. So anyway, moving on to the VPLW, it's time for bringing on our next guest. And she's got a famous surname, our next guest. And she comes to us from the Melbourne Knights, where her surnamesake also made a name for himself. But we're not talking about Joe Spiteri today. We're talking about Kate Spiteri from the Melbourne Knights. Kate, thank you for joining us on this Sunday night. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you guys going?
Very well. Thanks for joining us. And let's just say, Tom, Joe's not a big name. Spiteri's not a big name. He's a has-been who used to play football. Apparently.
Kate isn't, though. Kate is, and she currently plays, and she's doing very well for the Knights in VPLW. Now, today, you guys came up against Whitehorse United, a tough game. How did you go?
We ended up winning, so we won 3-1, which was a really good a win we really needed, I think, so it was good to get that at home as well.
As we call them, six-pointers. They were a real six-pointer. It was one of those games it just had to had to win, and you did. So that pushes you up to 10 points now, sort of 6 points clear of Whitehorse United, which is really important. But tell us about the league this year. I mean, we obviously see Preston Lions and Burundara have really, really dominated proceedings. And I've had the privilege of commentating a few Geelong Galaxy games this year. And you could really see, I in fact commentated the game against Preston, and they just seemed an absolute class above. And they were just incredible. They were just so, you could see they were an NPLW class team. How have you seen this year's VPLW competition, Kate?
Well, considering, you know, the past 2 years we haven't finished a season. I think it's good to finally go through the whole season. And like you said, Preston have improved crazy. Like, their women's development has been amazing, and seeing how their clubs developed for their women's has been really good. Like, as you can see with their results, like, they're absolutely dominating. But Burundara as well, you know, they've got girls from overseas, so they're clearly doing things right to get those girls. But I think overall there might be a bit of difference in the level of the clubs. Like, I know personally our team and below are a bit struggling at the moment, but I think overall it's been good to have good competition. But yeah, I think it'll be even better next year with more teams and more of maybe an even playing field. But it's been good to get this season through and see where everyone's at, because a lot of teams have improved quite a lot.
Now, at the start of the season, obviously a new coach came in, Johnny Diaz. Players left, had to bring some players in. How's that transition been for John? What's he like as a coach? Go on, you can say it on air. There's nobody listening. It's just the three of us.
All right, we started off really well. He brought us in with a really good preseason. He set us up with things to do at home, and we started pretty early, having practice games. Like, it was looking really promising. We had enough players, and then we kind of went through a lot of injuries. So we've been struggling at the moment with players, especially our keeper's gone down with a broken nose. So that was a big loss for us. But, you know, we're kind of just pushing through at the moment and still trying to play our best. We just go week by week at the moment, but we're just hoping no more injuries. But John's been a good change for us. I think he set us up well for the start. Unfortunately, we just got stuck with a lot of injuries, and it kind of just set us back a bit, which is really unfortunate, because I thought we were going to have a really promising season. We started off the first three games against the top three teams pretty well. Like, we drew with Preston in the first game against them. So we were super keen after that, but then everything kind of just, we got a lot of injuries, which is unfortunate. But it's been all right. It's been good.
Now, with your name Spiteri, you're obviously a striker.
At times, more of a right winger at the moment. But
And Jacqueline, I think, also plays at the club. Yep. So does Joe get involved as a coach? Is he helping out with Johnny with certain aspects?
Not too much.
Or do you not want to listen to Joe?
When he comes to the games, he's definitely very helpful. he helps us a lot on the sidelines, telling us. He's pretty much a second coach to us, which is really good. And he definitely helped us a lot at that Preston game, which was really good. But then, unfortunately, Jacqueline got injured as well, so we saw less of him. But she's back this week, so hopefully he shows his face a bit more. But he has been helpful to me, even as just a player, as he's my uncle, so he's always given me some advice. So,
but he obviously, as you said, you've got those family connections with the Melbourne Knights, and do you sometimes sort of kind of pinch yourself and you think, yep, this is where, you know, my uncle made a name for himself in Australian soccer, and I'm kind of following in those footsteps. And look, you know, it has produced so many great players over the years, the Melbourne Knights. And, we, you know, who knows, down the track we might may even see some female champions produced at the Knights. But is it there that sense of aura every time you step out onto Knights Stadium thinking, this is a ground that holds so many great memories for your family, for your extended family?
Yeah, like when I first started at Knights, that was the thing. It's like, oh, you're Joe's niece. It's like, oh, you must be some amazing player. And it was like a lot of expectation, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of crazy to see him on photos up on in, like, the club rooms and stuff.
He was a lot thinner then, though, wasn't he?
Yeah. To know he was, you know, such a big part of the club. It is good to go and play there and kind of try and do my bit as well. So it's good.
Awesome. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, Eltham Redbacks is the next opponent on Friday night at their ground. Yes. So the bottom side, you can never take that for granted, but it's another opportunity for the Knights now to really push away from that dreaded relegation zone. Will there be two teams relegated next year with all the restructuring?
I'm not sure. I've heard there is no relegation, there is relegation, so I'm honestly not too sure. I mean, in a way, hopefully there isn't, but maybe at the same time there needs to be, but we'll see.
Well, look, 3 points on Friday night. We'll ensure that that doesn't happen, won't it? So,
fingers crossed.
Absolutely, yeah. Kate, we're wishing you all the very, very best for the season ahead and indeed the big game against the Eltham Redbacks on Friday. Thank you so much for joining us and providing us a little bit of a perspective, insight into what's happening at the Melbourne Knights, the female team.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, good Kate. On
you. Thank you very much. Yep. Kate Spiteri there at the Melbourne Knights doing very, very well.
A fantastic young lady. She spoke very well.
Well spoken. Yeah, very well. Effervescent, exuberant, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And she speaks like a coach, doesn't she? We'll take one game, 1 week at a time. speaking of taking one thing at a time, we've got that many guests to get through, but we're going to take a little bit of a breather, folks.
Great, then get myself another beer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'll get myself a coffee just to stay awake. Don't go away, folks. When we return, it's time to check out Men's State League One, and we'll be speaking with the Caroline Springs footballer, Lockie Royce. Is that how you pronounce it? Roose?
Lockie Royce. Yeah,
Roose. Yep. We'll get the correct pronunciation from the man himself right after this break. So, folks, do not go away. You're watching the Football Out West Show. It is episode 95.
Looking for a space for your next function? At George's on Vista, our function room caters for all types of functions. Milestone birthdays, special religious occasions, work functions, hens or bachelor nights, baby showers, or whatever reason you decide is a good idea to get together with family and friends. Contact our friendly staff who will help you put together a menu that will suit your special occasion. Inquiries can be made via our website, georgesonvista.com.au. George's on Vista, in the heart of Fraser Rise. You'll find us at Caroline Springs, George Cross.
A big shout out to our major sponsor for 2022, George Cross Football Club, home of the famous George's on Vista Bistro. And it's from George Cross that comes our next guest, State League One action. A big, big welcome to the Football Out West show, Lockie Roose. Now, is it Roose or Royce? How do we pronounce that?
Yeah, either. Thanks for having me on, either guys. Royce, if you're over in Europe, and Roos over here. So it's all good.
All good, mate. Thank you very much for joining us on the show tonight.
No, I appreciate the time.
First and foremost, how did the golf go?
Easy win, to be honest with you. So Levi and I paired up and beat Reese, and he was partnered with a former George Cross player in Cam Bunn.
Okay, and you took some money off Reese. Love that.
Yeah, free lunch as well, so it's always nice.
Fantastic. Listen, mate, I just want to touch on, obviously, last night's big game. We had a couple of disappointing results the last few weeks with things. Over the last few weeks, things haven't gone quite right against Essendon Rolls, and obviously the big one at Sydenham Park last week. But last night, and the lights down there at Altona City. The boys put in a fantastic performance to come out 3-1 winners. A much needed win, shall we say. I think to settle everybody down a little bit because it's been a little bit anxious the last couple of weeks. How did you see last night?
Yeah, look, it's an extremely competitive league all round. So, and that comes across, doesn't really matter who you're playing, whether it be Sydenham, Essendon, even last night at Altona. So, yeah, as you mentioned, you touched on how the game go. It was pretty high intensity. I know that they had a few boys out, but at the same time, the ones coming in probably had a point to prove. So they all step up and they want to take their starting spot, which puts us under a bit more pressure. But as it unfolded, we kind of just looked after what we could control. And yeah, in the end of the day, we took the 3 points and we move on to next week.
Yeah, 3-1 win there for Caroline Springs George Cross over Altona City. You scored yourself, Lockie, in the 47th minute. Amachi also scored in the 62nd, Saunders in the 80th, and there was a 62nd minute own goal. We'll take a look at the ladder, and we'll also have a look at some of the other results as well. Sydenham Park, Essendon Royals 1-1. Keilor Park going down to Clifton Hill 1-0. This is as much of an interesting battle happening up the top of the competition standings. There's an even more interesting battle happening at the bottom of the competition standings. FC Strathmore defeated Yarraville. I think it was 1-0, if I'm not mistaken. Banyule City defeated Brimbank Stallions 4-2. Later this afternoon, Corio defeated Whittlesea United 5-3. So a lot of interest happening, as we said, at both ends of the competition standings. As you said, leagues where it's very, very competitive. We've gone out on it. It is the hardest league to win. It is, and Mark Sultana, the George Cross president, has said it is just such a fiercely contested league. How do you find it? Is it just thrilling? And once one game finishes, you just can't wait for the next game to come, or you just can't wait for the end of the season to just take an absolute breather?
No, I think, any player, they enjoy playing. So once you get to the end of the season, you think, oh, it's a long wait. In Australian football, it's a really long off season. So, like you say, it's a really difficult league to win. And that mainly comes down to the fields you play on, because any team can beat anyone on their day. It all just comes down to the knit and grit kind of side of football, where the team that shows up and does the little things right comes away with the points. You see that. And it comes down to even playing, I think, who's at the bottom of the table, I think you mentioned, was...
Strathmore.
Yeah, so they had us on the ropes. Yeah, they had us on the ropes at 1-0 early in the season, and they've gone and taken points off other top teams throughout the season as well. So, yeah, it just shows you from top to bottom, it's not the easiest league, that's for sure.
Yeah, and last night was... Sorry, Tons, go on. Go on.
I was just going to say, and Strathmore is the game in hand that you have at the moment. So you really just cannot take anything for granted at the moment. But sorry, Craig, I just nipped in.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about last night's game, really, because it was as you said, Lockie, it was a battle. The pitch was, it's hard to play any type of football on a pitch like that. It was heavy. It was wet. There was marks everywhere. Tractor tyres on the pitch. Obviously, the gaffer got you set up to play a certain way, and it obviously went the way that you guys wanted. What's the process now for the next week? Obviously, no training tomorrow. Back in on Tuesday, and obviously another big game now on Saturday against Brimbank, who we want to try and turn them over, because they turned us over at home just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, definitely. Tuesday and again Thursday, ahead of Brimbank away. Brimbank is another one of those games where it's just not an easy place to go to. The field isn't, you're not going to be playing the most pretty football, that's for sure. It can be windy there at times as well. So, look, it's just going to be, if we can get up for it, which we will be, and hopefully we want it a little bit more than them. And it's one of those games where we can push them kind of, almost put a line through them in terms of promotion. So kind of one step closer to our goal, which is obviously winning the league and then obviously getting promoted.
Yeah, and you just mentioned the pitches then. It must be very hard because it's you've obviously played on good pitches in your time, and you played for a very, very good Preston Lions side. You know, and then you're playing on this type of pitches that we're playing on in State League One. It's your football, really, your good football just doesn't happen, does it? It's winning ugly and getting those 3 points, getting off there, getting home, and then going again next week. Is that how you've been playing this year?
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's not one of those. You turn up, you get to play your top NPL level kind of nice pitches. Yeah. And both teams are trying to play, and you know, the technical side comes out. Yeah, it's you know, you got your big boys getting up, winning the headers, getting stuck in, taking extra touch. Someone's going to go through you. So, yeah, you just got to play your percentages, do the right things, and you know, if you come out on top, which if you do the right thing more often than not, you do. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those leagues for us.
It makes it all the more intriguing, I guess, for the neutral fan, and indeed, it just makes it even more tense for example, George Cross fans or any other fans of any other club in the league. So very quickly, Essendon Royals taking on Altona City this Friday night. Brimbank Stallions hosting you guys on Saturday. Corio at home to Banyul City. Keilor Park at home to Yarraville. My gosh, every game is got some significance here. Clifton Hill at home to Whittlesea United. And Strathmore, who have been very much in form since Mickey Chelina took over, they host Sydenham Park. And he could do you guys a big, big favour there at Strathnava Reserve, which has really been boggy in recent weeks. They take on second place Sydenham Park. So it is going to be a thrilling, thrilling run to the finish. And Lockie, mate, we're wishing you all the very best. Wish everyone at George Cross all the very best for the last six games. And we'll be here every Sunday covering it, analysing it, and looking forward to the next week as well.
Yeah, go Strathmore, eh?
Yeah. Mickey C's listening. You've got a couple of fans out there as well. Good on you, Lucky. Thank you very much for joining us. And once again, all the best for the big, big clash against Brimbank Stallions next Saturday at Club Italia there in Brimbank.
Thanks for having us, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Lucky. Cheers, mate.
Good on you, Lucky. Absolute pleasure chatting to Lucky Royce or Roos.
What a player he is, by the way, Tonch.
Yeah. Yeah,
what a player he is. He's so calm on the ball, even when things are, you know, hotting up around him. He's just that calming influence that his experience, you know, he's played Preston Lions, from captain Preston Lions for many years, and has come in. It's just a real calming influence on the field. Some player.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, week in, week out, we don't get a chance to look at some of the lower leagues. Tonight we're going to do that. We're going to try and do that, starting with State League 2. A lot of interest in State League 2 at both ends of the competition standings, as is always the case. And it's our pleasure to bring on one of the great fans of this program.
Oh, Santino's going to be made up now, isn't he?
Goodness me. Santino Mamone is going to be very, very excited with our next guest. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome Kevin Thuma, who is fresh from a holiday, I believe. Kev, how are you, mate? Coach of Mill Park, how are things with you?
Good evening, gents. How are we?
Good evening,
very
Kev.
Well, mate. Very well. Not as good as yourself, though, but how are you going?
Yeah, going well. Yes, I did come back from Thailand. It was warm compared to sunny Melbourne.
Absolutely. How are things over there to get back to normal post-pandemic and what you're not?
Yeah, look, they're sort of, getting there slowly. Still pretty quiet from a tourist point of view, but, you know, still warm. Beaches are still nice. Beers are still cheap, so... just what we want. Just what we want. I'll have to take you with me, Greg.
Yeah, next time, mate. Next time. Thanks for the offer. I just checked my phone. Actually, you probably saw me. I was just looking to see whether the text message came through, but I didn't see an invite on there. So
sorry, no, mate. November. Let's lock it in.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Now, Kev, let's talk about the weekend. Not the result you wanted. A 1-2 loss to a very tough team, Westgate. 2-1 the result there. Take us through that game, and I will then go through some of the other results in the other games.
Yeah, look, Westgate are a great side. A lot of quality players there, and you know, we always have a a bit of a, almost like a little rivalry between us and them. Even when I was at Albion, sort of was a bit of a little bit of that rivalry. You know, two top sides, obviously challenging promotion, and you know, Westgate got over the top. Bit more clinical on the front half, they put their chances away, and we didn't. So, a bit disappointing for the lads, but you know, we pick ourselves up and we go again next week.
Yeah, no, we're looking at I'm looking at the ladder here, Kev. Take Upfield aside, who are, on 41 points, haven't lost a game all season. Below them, yourselves, 28, Albion Rovers, 28, Altona Phoenix, 28. Westgate will be on, 29?
Westgate 29.
And then you've got Hoppers just on 20, 21 points behind that. We talk about how things are hotting up now in all the leagues, but this is as close as it's going to get in any league. You know, four teams vying for that second place, and some big games coming up. How are you looking towards the next five or six games, Kev?
Yeah, look, for us, the next 2 weeks are vital. We've got Upfield at home Saturday, and then we've got Albion away Friday night. So, you know, those two games will basically determine where we sit, basically at season's end, really. Like, obviously, there's plenty of other good sides through the leagues, but, you know, if we can get a couple of good results there, then it gives us a good springboard into the last sort of four games of the season. So
how do you go out and stop a team like Upfield who haven't lost a game yet? Obviously, it's on your patch, so what are you going to do differently to everybody else?
Look, we played them last time around, and First half last time, we gave them a bit too much respect and they scored a couple of goals. And then, you know, second half, we took the game to them and, you know, in the end, probably should have got a draw, I think, out of that game. But, yeah, look, they're a great side all over the park. The boys on the bench are just as good as the guys on the park. So, you know, tough to beat, but you know, I'm pretty confident if our boys show up and are fired up, we're a chance to beat anyone on the day, you know what I mean? So, yeah,
that's a big game next Saturday at Partridge Street Reserve there at 3 p.m. Some of the other games will go very quickly: Epping City taking on Geelong Rangers, Hoppers Crossing at home to Altona East, Laylaw United hosting Western Suburbs, Moreland United taking on Westgate, and Hume United at home to Albion Rovers. So there's going to be some really, really riveting games there as well. What do you reckon? What are your chances of being able to get promoted now that you've seen some of the other teams in action as well? Are you confident there, or you know it's going to be coming down to the wire?
Oh, look, I think it's going to come down to the last game. There's the 14 there in the league. You know, Altona are a good side. Probably you got the easiest draw, not easiest draw, but an easier draw. They don't play as many of the teams in and around them in the run home. And, you know, Albion and Westgate have hit their straps, you know. So, you know, they're in form. We've had a bit of an up and down the last few weeks, if I'm completely honest. So,
what'd you put that down to, Kev?
I've had a couple little niggles, and like everybody, I guess. But, yeah, just not putting our chances away. You know, the Westgate game definitely, in my opinion, was a draw. Hit the post, a couple of little sort of easy chances we missed. And then we made some errors for their two goals. So, you know, I think if we can get everyone on the park, which hopefully next week we'll get a couple of boys back, then we can give it a shake if we may.
Yeah, and any signings to come in before the end of the season, or you're done?
Oh, look, always looking, you know what it's like, Craig. But, you know, the market at the moment is quite difficult and everyone's sort of settled where they are. But, state two is getting harder and harder. You know, there's some quality that have dropped out. You know, Melvin Beckett at Westgate on the weekend was unbelievable. Absolute top quality little player.
You've got Theo McAllis has just gone to Altona, East as well. He scored yesterday.
There's some quality there. And, you know, look, I could probably mention 8 or 9 players from the Upfield side that are all, you know, NPL quality or State 1 quality easy. So, you know, and Albion again, you know, my old mob, they've brought in Donnie McGuigan, who's a good little player. And the boys that were there previously, again, a lot of quality there. So we'll put our best foot forward and see how we go.
Yeah, it's quite a physical league, isn't it? Like it's quite renowned for being a physical league. But now this time of year, the grounds get chopped up. They're very wet, very heavy. It becomes a real physical contest. And as we spoke with our previous guest, Lockie Royce, the grounds aren't that good, so they're not conducive to playing very smooth, you know, skillful football. It really becomes a real dogfight, doesn't it, towards the run home. Do you find that that's an advantage or a disadvantage for your team coming into the final stretch?
For us, I think it's actually a disadvantage. Our ground's quite chopped up at the moment, and even yesterday was difficult to play our style, but, you know, that's no excuse. Both teams play on the same park, and, you know, we all know it's going to happen. We all know, like, mid-year the rain comes and, you know, the grounds aren't the same as all the local footy grounds around. And unfortunately, it's what we've got to play on, you know, and that's nothing, take nothing away from Westco yesterday. They both played on the same pitch and they were just better than us in the end. So, yeah.
Good. All right, mate. Well, we wish you all the very best. Craig, did you have any last questions?
No, all good. All good. I just wish you, as Tonti was just about to say.
Best for the big one, yeah.
Yeah, wish you all the best for the next few weeks, mate. Two big games coming up. Let's obviously one against Albion Rovers, your home team, so you're not going to want to go there and not put up a fight, mate. So, wish you all the best over the next couple of weeks. And
thanks, gents. Yeah, appreciate
keep looking
it.
Out, keep looking out for you over the next few weeks, and hopefully you'll be a State League One team next year.
Thanks, gents. All the best.
Well, Santino, you're good, mate. He actually pops a comment up there and he says, Mill Park will get promoted to State League One next year. That's what he's saying. So let's keep that prediction alive. Eh? Kevin, thank you so much for joining the Football Out West show tonight. All the best for the rest of the season.
Take care, lads.
Thanks, Kev.
Good on you. We're nearly speaking of coming into the home stretch. We're nearly in the home stretch ourselves. When we return after this very, very short break from our business advertiser, Guzman Finance, in fact, now is a very good time to start thinking about your mortgage and refinancing your loan. And Andreas from Guzman Finance will help you very much so with probably yet another interest rate rise on the horizon. Here's a couple of words from our business advertiser today. When we return, we'll be looking at State League 3, and our next guest after that will be Bill Georgopoulos. He's the coach of Westvale Olympic. Folks, don't go away. We've still got a lot to get through in tonight's Football Out West show.
Guzman Finance, Point Cook's professional and trusted mortgage broker. Using the latest technology powered by Australian Finance Group, their lender panel has over 30 institutions, including the major banks. Whether you're in the market for your first home, refinancing, renovating, or buying an investment property, contact Andreas on 0425 826 055 or visit their website at guzmanfinance.smartonline.com.au.
Oh, that cut us very, very shortly there. Out where show caught us actually. It's a frenetic pace tonight. Hope you are enjoying tonight's very, very special, expanded, comprehensive coverage. And I'm sure still be people complaining, but you didn't cover.
I've just seen a comment from Jordan Borg saying that he's listening in. Now, Jordan was one of the ones that complained to us last week that we didn't cover any of the other leagues. So
listen to you, Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan, you owe me a beer next time I see you, mate.
It's time now to talk about the State League 3 competition. By the way, Football Out West. So we're going to look at the Western divisions or the Northwestern divisions. We haven't got time to look into the Southeast or the Eastern divisions or the South and Southern divisions, but the Division 3, Northwest, some interesting results over the weekend. But before we talk about the results, let's bring our next guest, and he is the captain. He's the coach of Westvale Olympic Football Club, Bill Georgopoulos. George, Bill, we're getting muddled
Everyone
up
does
here.
It.
Bill, welcome. Welcome, George Billopoulos, yeah? Is that true? Everyone does that. Everyone calls you George.
No, Everyone calls me George. Everyone calls me George. Yeah, it's a very common at the moment. And Craig, I must say, your Greek is very good. You pronounce my surname perfectly.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. I've had lots of practice, but let me tell you, doing commentary over the last 2 years, mate, it hasn't always been that way. I can rest assured I've made some right boo-boos on some players' names. So glad to have you on board, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Bill, your team is in action tomorrow night on a Monday night against Faulkner at CB Smith Reserve. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we'll go through some of the results from the weekend. Craigieburn City defeated Sunbury United 3-0. Altona North defeated Moonee Ponds United 5-0. And if you want to go onto Altona North's Facebook page, there's some brilliant photos of their dressing room. Rob Casher down Geelong way, who's an old life member, has done some special upholstery for him. Geez, it looks fantastic for a State League 3 club. Sebastopol Vikings defeated Diamond Valley 2-1. We had Heidelberg Eagles defeat Western Eagles 3-1. We're not sure of the score between Point Cook and Williamstown. Do we know?
Williamstown won that one 2-1.
There you go. And Bill, now the game against Faulkner on Monday. How have you seen the league so far this year, State League 3?
Well, definitely stronger than last year. I mean, although last year we might have finished bottom, there was no relegation, but I can see this year, I'll have to say that there's at least six teams prior to ball being kicked that wanted the promotion this year. So I think it's a very tough division. I mean, out of that top half, I'd say Faulkner started off the slowest out of all the clubs, and we happened to play him. I think it was round five in the first round. And to be honest, they were one of the best teams we played, although they found themselves, I think they were second last or third last at the time. But yeah, look, they've been well coached. They've got a young team. I know it's going to be a very tough game tomorrow night at Faulkner's ground, but I'm sure my boys will be up to the challenge. I mean, every game we've played probably in the last 10 weeks, every team wants to obviously break our duck. And, look, I just can't thank my players enough. I mean, it just shows how mentally strong you need to be to keep the unbeaten run going. But, obviously, our goal is obviously just to finish second and get promoted and get out of Division 3. But, you know, if a championship's out for grabs and, you know, after that a undefeated run to the end happens, then we'll take that as well.
Now, Bill, you touched on there that obviously last year the club were bottom. Yes. And obviously would have been relegated had there been this full season and whatever. So what's been the transformation from the club? So how do you go from being bottom of the league and relegation fodder to being top of the league and not losing a game? How's that come about for the club?
Look, it's fantastic. To be honest, I got appointed after round two last year. So the club had lost 3-0 to Western Eagles. They went down to Ballarat to Sebastopol. They conceded another 7. And to be fair, my first game in charge, we conceded 9 against Faulkner. So we lost 9-0. So it was a challenge from there. I reached out to an old president of ours to come back and step in and help the club, which is a very passionate man, George Loulakis. And he has come back. And to be honest, when you're minus 20 goals after 3 games, no player wants to come to your club, that's for sure. And to be honest, we signed, I think it was 32 or 42 players in 7 weeks, believe it or not. Wow. Just to keep turning them over until we got a very respectable team on the park. And I think although the season was cut short last year with 13 games, we lost one of the last 5, I think it was. Although we were still in bottom position, I highly think that we wouldn't have finished there in the last 9 games. And look, from that, we kept quite a few of those boys from last year. And obviously, you know, George is a very, not only passionate, but very ambitious person. He's never won a league as a president. He's come runners up a couple of times, which I was lucky enough to play under him as a president at the club. And so we went out, you know, look, like I said to you, 6 of those 12 teams this year would have been vying for promotion. And that's probably the same goes around to all the State League and NPL clubs every year. And unfortunately, not all of them get to get promoted. And look, luckily for us, we find ourselves in a very good position. But look, there's still another 6 or 7 games to go for us to achieve that goal.
You've got a pretty difficult fortnight coming up. Obviously, the game against Faulkner tomorrow, but then also another away game against Craigieburn City. That's Saturday week. Mate, being undefeated, doing so well, obviously being in State 3, have you had some of the clubs in State 2, State 1, even maybe NPL 3, looking at some of your players and trying to sort of grab their mid-season and say, come on, you guys could be playing in a better standard competition? And if that's the case, how have you managed to hold on to them, and how have you managed to sort of shoo away all the predators?
Well, I think I'll jump in there. I think he's actually gone the other way, and you've actually brought some players in who've played higher level, haven't you?
Look, it's gone a bit of both ways, to be honest. And look, you know, a lot of coaches out there probably, look, I'm pretty new to the coaching caper, but I think a lot of people out there look at too much resumes, I think. So, you know, even teams in our division, they might think, oh, this guy's played in State 1. Oh, he must be brilliant. He'll be too good for State 3, so we'll sign him. So, yep. And that's I think, a bit of false advertising a lot of clubs, you know, find themselves doing. It's very important, I think, to look at a player, see if his characteristics fit in the game style you want to play.
Yeah.
Then after that, obviously, you know, is he a good person, you know, because building a strong culture goes a long way to winning championships. And that's what we've done this year. You know, all the players we've signed or brought on board, we never signed anyone blind. We thought of everything. You know, all the players have come aboard, we've thought it through. And I've got to give a special mention to my assistant coach, Paul Skoulos, who, you know, you walk into any ground in Victoria and he happens to know everybody at every ground. And that's the same with his networking with players. So, look, clubs have come knocking on the door for a few of our boys, but I think it's been an easy sell. Who doesn't want to win a championship? You know, so in the day, money can't buy a championship, and that's what the sell is at the moment. And you know, I'm hoping we can be in State 2 next year.
Yeah, that's a really good comment, and you hear that a lot from really, really good coaches. Culture is very big at any club, and it doesn't matter if it's at A-League or EPL or NPL or State 5 even. That is one big thing. Mate, it's going to be an interesting competition or interesting run home. You're in the box seat, no doubt, but you can't take the foot off the pedal, so we're wishing you and everyone at Westphal all the very, very best. And Bill, thank you so much for joining us here. It is a pleasure to be able to look at the State 3, State 2, State 3, State 4, State 5, etc. And we wish we'd be able to do that every week, but unfortunately, time and resources and all of that sometimes works against us. So thank you on this occasion for jumping in and talking State 3 football.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure.
All the best, Bill George, and we'll catch you up. We'll catch you up before the end of the season, no doubt.
No worries, absolutely. Craig. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. All the best, mate.
Good on you, Bill. That's Bill Georgopoulos, not George Billopoulos, joining us there to talk State 3 football. That is absolutely fantastic. Now, we're going to have our very, very last guest joining us very, very shortly. She's the president of Melton Phoenix, and geez, there's been some really interesting things on and off the field happening at Melton Phoenix. But before we do that, let's have a look at State 4. So look at... This is an interesting division for several reasons, but the team that is at doing very, very well at the moment, and we'll just bring that up, there's State 3, but State 4, Keilor Wolves, newly promoted from State 5 last year, and in fact, the only reason they were promoted was that they were just filling in a gap. But they have been absolutely amazing in their first season. 13 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, and they sit pretty on top of the competition standings. Westside Strikers do have a game in hand, and they're in second spot. And then there's a big gap between themselves and Laverton. Now, obviously, with this one, it's only the top team gets promoted. Is that right, Craig? I think because it's a West Division and then the champion of the North Division, they get automatically promoted. I'm not sure. Are there?
I think it's changed, Tonch. It used to be certainly when I was coaching, it was when we were State League 4. It was the top one went through automatically, and then there was a playoff between the second place second place in State League 3 or second last in State League 3. But I'm not sure whether that's changed. But this again is going to go down to the wire, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Westside Strikers and Keilor Wolves, obviously in the ascendancy there at the top. But Laverton just six points behind. It's going to be a very, very tough league. But look, Kilo Wolves have done fantastically well. Tried to get Sofian on the show. Unfortunately, he had something on tonight. Otherwise, he would have come on. But yeah, he's done a fantastic job there over the last two seasons.
Hopefully, maybe in weeks to come, we might catch up with someone from Kilo Wolves or even Westside Strikers Caroline Springs. They defeated Melbourne City.
Jordan Borgs actually just said that only the top team gets promoted.
Top teams get through, yeah. So Westside Strikers did defeat Melbourne City, not the A-League Melbourne City, the Melbourne City from Spotswood 3-1. And Kilo Wolves had a late winner against Surf Coast 3-2 down at Banyul Wari Reserve in Torquay. We're talking now State League 5, Men's State League 5. And we've got they are the new top team, the new table toppers from Melton Phoenix. And we've got the president here on the show joining us, Michelle Williamson. Michelle, a very, very warm welcome to you. And welcome back to the Football Out West show. We've had you on the show in seasons gone by. But you must be one very happy president on this Sunday night. Melton Phoenix have now jumped to the top of the competition standings after what can only be described as a major, major surprise. Barwon lost 3-8 to Balmoral. Wow, what is going on there, Michelle?
That was a surprise to us as well. thank you so much for having us again. And yeah, hopefully we don't have any technical issues this time.
Sorry, Michelle, it is great to have you on board. Tonchi, the last time we had Melton Phoenix on was the day that I was in the garage holding the phone up trying to with Darren, the coach.
That's exactly right. That's a memorable episode that one was, and it was. Let's hope that's not repeated tonight. But goodness me, yeah, that was amazing. Go on, Michelle.
No, so we just it is good to be top of the table, but it was an unexpected result from Barwon on the weekend. It is always tough to go to Balmoral and play. They're a very physical team with the home advantage. I think, they've got to get a good crowd. And, so we know what that's like. We were there. It was a tough game as well. So,
It was 3-4 at halftime. And the reports coming through at the time was that it was a very, very tough game. But what a goal feast that was. Seven goals in the first half. And then Balmoral just ran away completely with it. But as far as you guys are concerned, a good 4-0 win over Wynnum FC yesterday means you jump to the top of the competition standings there. And there we've got the ladder there. So Melton Phoenix looking pretty, sitting on top. Barwon in second spot. Balmoral, a red-hot Balmoral now on 34 points. They take on Deakin University, I believe, in the next round. So it's third versus fourth. Deakin lost to West Point, it's an interesting competition, isn't it? In the top five, top six teams, anyone on their day could win. And there's some teams like Lara United who have been on a roll. I think they haven't lost in the last six games or something like that. So it's not going to be an easy run home, certainly by any stretch of the imagination. But as president, you're pretty confident the boys are going to be able to get over the line.
I don't think you'll never be fully confident, but it's a great bunch of boys. I mean, the average age is 22 and a half or something like that. They're very, very young. We've got six players in there that were our old under 12s from, 8 years ago. They've all come back to play together. So it is a really young bunch, and Darren runs a tight ship there, and they're doing all the right things. They're driving, they've got so much enthusiasm. They're really driving it. So, we're sort of all going along for the ride, really.
Yeah, and just looking at the squad list there, you've got obviously Lockie Stafford, who's played State League One football. You've got Alex Diamond that's also gone back to the club having played State League football. And obviously you've got an experienced coach in Darren Traynor, who's been at the club before as well. How important is that to have somebody like a Darren at the club that's been there in the good, bad, and different days to come back in with a very, very young squad of play? We played them in pre-season, and they're a good side. And I speak to Darren quite often. So it must be really pleasing, as you said, to have that very young core group of players in State League 5 that, if they stick together over the next couple of years, could go on and do some great things.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's Darren's forte, to be honest. I think that's what he's really good at, that sort of age group. And with the older guys that we've got in there, they're the same. They just really buy into the young boys, and, you know, I think they're enjoying going, you know, having that young group around them. So we've got a really good balance of older heads in there, and the young ones coming through, obviously quite talented.
Yeah, now off the field, you've had some massive improvements, massive ground rent, facility improvements done at McPherson Park. Just recently, you opened your new pavilion, your new club rooms. Tell us what is going on down at McPherson Park. It's been a few years in the making.
So we've had a gravel road since 1968. We're finally getting a bitumen road that will go from where the AFL ends to the soccer club, because it used to stop at the AFL, unfortunately. So, yeah, we've got a bitumen road and 120 car space car park being built that's being done by the end of July. And the new building's amazing. It's, yeah, we've got the speakers that are outside and, you know, the audiovisual stuff and, yeah, top-notch canteen. I think, yeah, Tracy, our canteen lady, is loving it. Finally. Well, we had some dodgy appliances and things before, whereas now it's amazing. It's really steady up. But I think we're getting a lot right off the field, and it's now starting to reflect on the field. So
yeah, and apart from yourself, obviously, who else has been really heavily instrumental in lobbying the local council and other businesses and what you're not for funding of that?
Yeah, well, we have John and John. So John, our treasurer, and John, our secretary. Our executive committee and Craig Howie stepped in. He's head of football, so he's also the vice president. So the four of us, yeah, just rallying the council. As you know, it's a very big football town, Melton, so we had to really rally hard. But we've got some amazing councillors that have really supported the soccer strategy that they did a while ago. It's really just enforced that, yeah, soccer / the real football is actually going to be the number one sport in town.
And I think that's really important, Michelle, because Melton Council have been right on the forefront of investing in football facilities, haven't they? We've seen, obviously, what they've done at George Cross, obviously what they've done with yourselves up there now. Mm-hmm. It's a big growth area for, you've only got to go up the freeway to Ballarat and see the number of houses that are now being built in that area. It's great to see a forward-thinking council, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And they just, like I said, when we go to them, it's not always just a direct no. It's just, how can we work together to get things done? So it does take a lot of work. And as you know, we're all volunteers, so you're doing it in your own time. But it's really worth it when you see, like, the game on the weekend, seeing how many people are there and the young kids running out with the seniors and that sort of thing, and just the whole community coming together. It does, it does make it worth it.
And how's the girls and women's program going at the club? Because I know, obviously, you're a big advocate of that, having played women's football for the club as well. How's all that going for you?
Yeah, well we got promoted to State 4 by a restructure of the leagues, which we weren't quite ready for, because our team had just formed the year before. So we've had some pretty ordinary results, but take nothing away. Our women, they're an amazing group of girls. There's 21 of them, and they just want to learn. And there's some really new ones. There's some older experienced ones that have come back. So the group is really good. But our female program now, we've got under 5/6 right through every 2 years, right up to the women. So, goes from 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, right through. So we're catering for all of them now, and it helped because we've got the female change rooms there now, and the Go Soccer Mum starts in term 3. So there's a lot going on that we're in the female space, but it's one of our main pillars that we want to work towards, because there isn't a lot out far west for that.
If you're a Melton Phoenix supporter, or if you reside in the Melton area, do keep abreast of all that is happening through the Melton Phoenix social medias. As you said, lots and lots of programs for everyone there. And as we get closer to that July period, when the car park's going to be all bitumed up and everything, just in time for the worst part of winter too. Michelle, on that note, thank you very much for joining us again here on the Football Out West show. Wishing you all the very, very best, not just the men's side of things, but the women's side of things and the juniors and everything else around McPherson Park as well. So thank you for joining us, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle.
Absolute pleasure. Oh, and Michelle Williamson, the president of the Melton Phoenix Football Club, a very, very progressive club, and it's great to see a club like that getting the facilities that it deserves. Craig, mate, I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely knackered. But what a show! I'm on a high talking to all. I mean, sometimes it felt like going 100 miles an hour, but talking to all of these clubs from NPL all the way down to State 5 and VPLW in between as well. It's been an absolute thrill. I don't know about you.
It has. It's hard work every weekend. For those that don't know, it's hard work week in, week out, trying to get top quality guests on the show. Thankfully, we've built up a really good network over the last couple of years, Tonch, where we can ring people up at short notice and ask them to come on and help us out. But it's getting harder and harder. We want to keep the show. We want to keep the show going for series four, I think it'll be next year.
So season five. This is season four now.
You know, but we need people to come on board and help us because there's a lot of work that goes. We were talking before the show started today, and Sunday is a day of just spent 7 or 8 hours getting ready for the show, and then obviously the hour and a half afterwards, and then we finish up tonight and we start all over again preparing for next week's show. So look, it's thoroughly enjoyable. There's nothing better than talking football, is there? It's either that or My Kitchen Rules. So
I know absolutely. On that note, thank you very much to everyone for watching and tuning into tonight's show. Become an advertiser, become a sponsor, and support our sponsors. Support the sponsors that support your sport, Guzman Finance and Georgie's on Vista. Thanks to Caroline Springs, George Cross Football Club, Mark Sultana, Tony Tanaglia, Lisa Juric, and all of the rest down there at George Cross. They have been absolutely monumental in their support of our show this year. If it wasn't for them, we would not be able to come out every Sunday night. Stay tuned in the next few weeks. We've got some huge, huge news about our 100th episode coming up in 5 episodes' time. And also probably more than likely a live show, we hope, from our major sponsors, George Cross, the Georgies on Vista. On that note, folks, thank you very much once again for joining us. I'll be back with Steve Curtin tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for the Geelong Region Soccer Show. That should be an awesome one. And we hope to have Western United's Stephen Lustitzer on as a special guest. He will be doing a clinic down in Geelong this week. So tune into that from 8 o'clock tomorrow night. It'll be simulcast on the Football Out West show. Till then, good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.